Welcome to the weekly webcast. Each week these messages are brought to you with practical help for daily living from our teacher and pastor, John S. Terrell. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged and challenged by this message and that you'll share it with a friend. The rise of the Antichrist is a major event that will take place before the second return of Jesus. The man of sin will create a global federation and force every nation to give up their sovereignty. But what do you know about this man on a personal level? Did you know that he is going to be a homosexual? The Bible says that the man of sin won't desire women, and one of the signs of the beast system is homosexuality. This is why sexual degenerates are going to rally to this man. They are vocal, militant, and filled with rage against those who stand in their way. Now, let's join Pastor John as he begins today's message.
God has laid upon my heart to share this message with you. And I called it Homosexuals and Transgenders. So let me give you a background to this. Early this week, I was out doing some business, and Carol needed to go to the store, so I took her to the store. Now, when I drive in sunshine, I have sunglasses. So I got a case with sunglasses, so I took a case, took my glasses, I put them up, put my case back in the dashboard. And we went to the store, went inside, did our business. So when I come back, I laid my glasses on the side, and I was looking for my case. It was gone, absolutely gone. So I said to Carol, well, I had a case here. So she looked, I looked, we looked under the seat, we looked this way, that way, this way. No, it was gone. So I said to her, this is demonic. The next day, I drove the car there, you know, and there was no case there. I had my glasses, just my glasses. So Friday, this week now, I was going to another place, and as I come out of that place, got in the car, there was my case. And it was wedged in halfway out and halfway under the front seat. So I realized, all right, you demons, you're playing with me. And you're trying to spook me. So I just took the case and I said, well, praise the Lord, I got it back, put it on the dashboard. And I thought, well, that's it. So Saturday, Steve, who was up here just a few minutes ago, and I went to the city dump, actually the county dump, and they have a Ford 250, and it's a big truck. So we went to the dump, no problem, took the stuff out that we needed to drop off there and so on. And left the dump. We're going to drive down back to Lincoln, do a couple of things. And as I got closer to the city, suddenly the car went by itself to the right. I mean, psst. So I simply had to grab the steering wheel and pull it back. I said, Steve, did you see that? Yeah. So now I put it back. Suddenly now, the front end was shaking like this. And I simply said, Steve, look at this. I took my hands off the steering wheel, and the steering wheel was going like this. I said, something got loose in there. I said, we're not going to drive home. I'm going to go over to this shop here. There's the Firestone shop and have them look at the front end. So we got to the shop, shanking, and the guy there said, I can't do anything today. Too many cars, don't have enough mechanics. You can park it here or bring it back Monday, whatever you want. He was cold as ice. So we got out, and I said, no, I don't think I want to leave the truck there. I'll bring it on Monday. We got in the truck. I started it up. And guess what? It ran smooth like silk. I said, Steve, do you see this? We got out on the road, and I took my hands off the steering wheel, and the truck just didn't go left to right. It just went smooth down the road. So it's obvious now the demons were simply saying this. We got power. We can take this big truck, and we can shake it down. We can do a little of the things. Because I have been praying this week about this message that I'm going to bring today. So, we parked the truck. I'm not going to take it into Firestone. There's nothing wrong with the truck. I just had some pesky demons that were just pulling on my wheels. So, last night I went to bed. And had my prayer time. And during the night, I woke up on this. I had the most vile, horrible, filthy dreams that I have never had like that before. And I realized as I'm waking up, man, they are pushing this filth into me. So I simply said, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke this. I will not take this. I do not accept it. It's not me. And I got after the demons and simply chased them down and bound them and sent them to prison. And I realize we are in a fight now that is going to get nasty. I mean nasty. So with that introduction, let me share with you what God laid upon my heart. I wrote this last night, but I've thinking about this most of the week. The first American man to have surgery to become a woman was George William Jurgensen. He lived from 1926 to 1989. He died at the age of 63. Since his parents were from Denmark, the hormone therapy and surgery took place in Denmark from 1952 to 53. Now, I lived during that period of time. Homosexuality was something people were ashamed of. Matter of fact, homosexuals could not hold jobs for the federal government in the United States. They got booted out. And to be a homo was actually shameful. So this guy, George, he had served 2 years in the U.S. Army. Had been drafted. That was the time of draft. Young people don't remember that. The draft was taken away about in the mid of the 1960s. But there was a time when every American male had to go to a draft board, and if you were not flat-footed, you had to serve 2 years. Once he had a surgery, he took the name Christine. And this opened the door for men and women to become transgenders. I remember it was a lot of talk about it on television and the media, and they showed his picture and so on. And he went to Hollywood and became some kind of an entertainer and sang and danced a little bit until he died at the age of 63. The fallen angel Ishtar that Steve was talking about was able to break into the United States on June 28th, 1969, when he invaded the Stonewall Inn, which was a homosexual bar that's still there, in a Greenwich Village in New York City. It was owned and operated by the Genovese Mafia family. It was a mafia bar for homosexuals. When the police raided a bar on June 28, 1969, the crowd of homos exploded, and for the next 5 days, homosexuals from all over New York came to protest, including lesbians. Now, you can look this up on the internet. It's there. But remember this. If you do not know that something exists, you're not going to look for it. So what I'm doing here today is I'm simply letting you know something that existed. Ishtar, the fallen angel, he simply claims, he says, I'm a man, I'm a woman, I'm a man, I'm a woman. That fallen angels operate like a transgender. Here's the power behind the transgenders. Demons under command of Ishtar have penetrated a number of homosexual men who worked as prostitutes and used the bar as a pickup place. At the bar now, a Stonewall. But it was a female prostitute with a man's feature that was brought out from the bar and placed in the police car. This one I had raided the bar. The female was vocal. She was angry. She was possessed by power demons, controlled by Ishtar. As she had been handcuffed, as they put her in a squad car, she looked upon 500-600 homosexual men standing there, and she simply screamed, why don't you guys do something? And the moment she screamed that out, unholy spirits fell on that crowd, and suddenly they were energized. This picture of it on the internet. You can see the anger, the hate. And they didn't have any weapons. And they simply lashed out. And they started beating up the cops. They got it so fast. And the cops had to get inside the bar and lock the door to save themselves. And then for 5 days, they rioted. And more homosexuals came in. There were men dressed like women. Males had sex with other males. Male prostitute. Feminized men. In a split second, the crowd exploded in rage. And they attacked the police, who had to flee. This week, in Nashville, Tennessee, there was a group of transgenders. Men and women, some of them were looking nice. You know, they were not, what you call it, garbage people. They were regular people out of jobs. They stormed the Capitol in Nashville. And you could see the footage this week. And there was police, state troopers there. And they overwhelmed them. They pushed them. And they manhandled them, and they got into the chamber itself and disrupted it. And they were loud. They were angry. I want to tell you this. Understand that. You cannot be a homosexual unless you have been possessed by demons. Transgenders, homosexuals, genderless, whatever they call themselves, they are possessed by demons. They are militant. They are merciless. Ishtar commissioned his entire demon army to go all out and transform all male and female homosexuals to raging radicals capable of murder. Homosexuals were told to get out of their closets, get in the face of regular people, and start to subdue them by getting involved in politics. Let me tell you this. If you are a politician, and you would talk like I do today, you will not be a politician the next day. Any politician today got to bow to the homosexual lobby. Don't you kid yourself. Lucifer was born on priest, since he himself is in a perpetual rage. And I'm going to read to you here from Revelation chapter 12. That's Revelation, the 12th chapter, and verse number 12. Therefore rejoice, you heavens, you that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea. For the devil has come down unto you having great wrath, because he knows that he has but a short time. The devil has great wrath, having great wrath, because he knows that he has but a short time. Today, we have little children. This started, matter of fact, this year. Drag shows. Drag shows in public libraries where they have reading for children. Satan is after the children of America. You see it through television. You see it in movies. You see it everywhere. An enticement. And suddenly, right now, the homosexual population in America is about 7%. In a little while, a few more years, that's going to increase. Lucifer told Ishtar, you did a good job at Stonewall. You opened up America. If you go back and study that, you will find there was a tremendous debate, and then legislators started changing laws to fit the homosexuals. It was a watershed. If you have a Bible that you want to read with me, turn to Genesis chapter 19. That's Genesis chapter 19. And we're going to pick it up in verses 4 through 11. This is in Sodom and Gomorrah. These are the two angels that have come in to check out. And they come to Lot. And they went into Lot's house. Verse 4. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young. All the people from every quarter, every homosexual male was out there. They were all homosexuals. And Lot went out at the door unto them and shut the door after him and said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Behold now, I have two daughters which have not known men. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do you to them as good in your eyes. Only to these men do nothing, for they therefore came they under the shadow of my roof. Lot was willing to throw his two daughters out to this mob and say, manhandle them, abuse them, rape them, whatever you want to do, but don't touch these two men. Lot knew that they were angels. Well, the angels could defend themselves. And they said, stand back. And they said again, this one fellow came into sojourn, he needs to be a judge. Now we will deal worse with you than with them. Lot was a judge in Sodom. And they pressed sore upon a man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. But the men, the angels, put forth their hand and put Lot into the house to them and shut the door. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great. So they wearied themselves to find the door. Homosexuals are militant. They're getting worse. And they are simply possessed by demons. The Waukesha Christmas Parade, November 21st, 2021. Darryl Brooks, Jr., was a shooter. He was sitting on top of a rooftop and picking people up at the Christmas parade. Who goes to the Christmas parade? Basically, most of them were Christians. He killed six people. 62 were injured and had to have surgery, probably a long time to recuperate. Brooks was a transgender. He was a man that said, I'm a woman. Like Ishtar, I'm a man, I'm a woman, I'm a man, I'm a woman. I want you to feel the power of these demons. He was sentenced to six lifetime terms. He will never come out. And then they gave him about a couple of hundred years on top on that. This week, March 27, a mass shooting at the Covenant Christian School in Nashville. Three children, 9 years old, killed. Three adults. The shooter was Audrey Hale, a woman, 28 years old, and she said, I am a man. She lived at home. Her parents were Christians. They said, you cannot dress as a man. You live here, you've got to be dressed like a woman. So she would go out with her friends, dress as a man. And then finally, she got so sick and tired of it because the church, where she had gone as a child, teenager, she simply wanted to take out revenge on Christians. So she specifically went there. Now, the press will not say that this was a hate crime, because you got to protect the homosexuals. You got to protect the transgenders. So they simply said she had mental issues. Yeah, they're called demons. Final scripture I'm going to give you here on this message here is Daniel chapter 11. Turn to Daniel. And he comes right after his sequel. I can get up there. There we go. Here's Daniel. Chapter 11. And we're going to look at verse number 37. This is the description of the Antichrist. Daniel 11:37. Neither shall he regard the God of his fathers, nor the desire of women, nor regard any god, for he shall magnify himself above all. I have said this since 1960s and 70s. The spirit of Antichrist is a homosexual demon. It's Ishtar. It's behind that. As we're getting closer now, I mean, it's not only the United States. I see this in Sweden where I was born. Homosexuality is very militant there. It's in every country now. The spirit of Antichrist is a spirit of homosexuality. And it is sweeping the nations. What are pastors doing in the different churches? They don't want to talk about this. They want to discuss this issue. First of all, it's what they call political. Secondly, you get backlashes. We had a backlash a few years ago, back, I would say about 2012, when we got infiltrated by about six militant homosexuals that came into our morning service, and they had come in, they had placed themselves in different places, so we couldn't see them as coming in as a group. And we had a speaker that morning that was speaking on homosexuality. And the moment he started speaking, one stood up here, one stood up there, one stood up here, and he started shouting, I mean, the hate come loose. My brother Peter was in charge of the ushers. And my brother Peter didn't take any lip from anyone. And we were on the second floor. We had a stairway outside going down with cement stairs. And my brother was ready to take the first one and just heave him down the stairs. He would have killed him. When a bunch of other my people simply said, no, don't do that. So they were able to walk out. But they were militant. And they simply told us how much they hated us. What can we do about this? Why did I share that with you? Many of you have children that are from babies up to 15, 16, 17 years old. You got to simply say this. I'm not going to take a chance. I don't want my son or my daughter to become a homosexual or transgender, whatever they call themselves. Just like you guard your house, you guard your car, you put up cameras to secure things, and you do that because you're protecting your property. But you don't think about your children. I remember my dad. He was a backslidden Christian, but he took me when I was about 10 years old. And he told me this, son, he spoke in, so I didn't understand, he said, now, if any man tried to touch you, kick him, fight him. So, this was back 1940s, mid-1947, 48, something like that. And I remember when I was 15 years old, I got my first job at a factory, and I was in the sweeping floors and stuff like that. And this guy came up to me, and homosexuals, again, I lisp a little bit. They don't talk quite right. So he was a big guy. He came up and said, hey, little boy. And he started to put the hands on me. I took one look. I didn't understand what he was going to do. But I had an iron pipe in the area. So I got that pipe. I said, you touch me and I will kill you. He backed off. I was a spitball. I was angry. And I tell you what, I would have beaten that guy to death. That's my first experience of a homosexual. They tried to simply mess with me. And so I learned this. So your children now, there are video games. You got TikTok. You got Facebook. You got all kind of different activities. Disney is into this. And they have the lure of simply saying, you know, well, these are homosexuals, these are lesbians. And they try to simply get in with your children. What I told you today before about my case for my glasses, for my truck that they messed with, and from the horrible dreams I had, they'd seen, the demons had seen me put this together. They knew what I could do today. They tried to simply intimidate me and say, you know, you do that, it's going to cost you. Well, I happen to believe that Jesus is stronger than Satan. I believe that the Holy Ghost has more power than you take a billion demons. And I'm not going to back down. I'm going to use whatever we have to push back. I don't hate people. I feel sorry for them. But I don't want them to infiltrate the church. I don't want them to go after our children. So what you need to do is this. Dad, Mom, you need to pray for your children. You need to watch what they are watching. You need to begin to do spiritual warfare. You got to attack and say, don't you touch my girl. Don't you touch my boy. They gave their life to Christ. They belong to Jesus. I'm the custodian. I'm in charge until they are of age. And if you're going to go after them, you come to me first. And now you have to kill me before you can get to my child. We got to be militant. If you're in public school, I feel sorry for you. I mean, public school is a hell place to be today. That's horrible. If you're in a Christian school, it's somewhat better, but you even got them there. So to summarize this message, it's simply this. You're going to be aware of that we are living close to the coming of the Antichrist. And we need to take heed and realize 2023 is not like 1950. 1950 was nice. That's when I grew up. You didn't even have to lock your doors where we lived. You could walk the streets. I could walk, as a child, I roamed the streets. I could be out that it was dark. You can't do that anymore. So where do we start? You start by simply saying, God, I need to rededicate my life. Let me just add one word about abortion. Abortion is murder. A lot of women in Christian church have had abortion. God will forgive you. God has forgiven you. But abortion is a sin. Now you heard this. In case of rape or incest, yeah, we can kill the baby. Let me ask you this. Did that baby that was formed in the womb of a woman, was that baby part of the rape? Should that baby be killed, executed because a man raped a woman? Think about it. That's insanity. A baby is a baby, regardless how the baby got to be born or be started. So I would say this to you. Take an inventory today and say, God, am I walking where you want me to walk? How's my prayer life? How's my Bible reading? How's my devotion time? How much time do I devote to my wife? How much time do I devote to my husband? How much time do I spend with my children? Am I protecting my family? And if you say, well, I've been sloppy, I've just let them do this or this and that, this should be a wake-up call for you. This should be a time when you simply say this, God, forgive me for being sloppy in my Christian life. I haven't prayed against homosexuality. I haven't prayed against the Vokes. I haven't prayed for people in politics. I've just done my own thing. We need to wake up and say, God, forgive me. Help me to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Teach me to do spiritual warfare. We're starting. Steve is beginning to teach us for this book. And that brings it up here. This is the book that I want to promote today. The Return of the Gods. It's written by Jonathan Cahn. He's a Christian Jew. He is born again. Some people don't like him because he has a little bit of different prophets. But I tell you what, this guy has done his homework. This is a scholastic book. He's laid out where the gods were at a time in Israel, how they evolved, and how they are today. That should be a textbook for every believer in Christ to read that. And that will give you a wake-up call and say, man, I need to pray. You need to have names to pray against. That's why we pray against Baal. That's why we turn to Ishtar. But there are other names that we're going to come up with later on. So if you haven't got, we do have this book in stock. We sell this book. It's not up on our website. It's $25. $25. I don't make any profit on this. It costs us this $25 for shipping and handling. Go to our website and go to our donation page. Put in $25 and say, I want the gods are back. And we know what to send to you. But that's a book that once you read that, you're going to say, my God, I didn't know we got this far. So you listen to me today and you're not saved. And you says, well, I've been sitting on the fence. I really want to be a Christian. How do you become a Christian? Here's how you become a Christian. Number one, you confess that you're a sinner. Secondly, you confess that you believe there's a God. Then you confess that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that he died for you on the cross, paid for your sins. He rose on the third day, and through his death and resurrection, you can be saved. And then you say, Father God, forgive me for my sins. I'm sorry. Jesus, come on in. Come on in, Jesus. I want to be saved. And Jesus will. When we finish here, three crosses will come up on your screen. And you will hear the voice of Pastor Charles saying, my friend, he will spend 10 minutes with you. And during that 10 minutes, he will show you exactly how to be saved. And he will pray with you. Please do that. If you're backslidden, if you want to have more power, contact us, call us, write us, and say, I need prayer. I need that book. I need to talk to somebody. And our people here, Carol, Steve, they'd be more than glad to minister to you over the phone and to pray with you. But take this afternoon and simply say, God, if this is true, what Pastor John said today, it's later than I thought it is. I need to repent. I need to really press in. Holy Spirit, fill me. Give me the power and guide me how to conduct spiritual warfare. Remember this. I cannot protect your children. They are protected by you. God will use you to protect your children. But if you do not protect them, they are open target. You have to step up. I'm not going to preach my second message. I'll say that for next week. I got too excited about this. I want to see some action. So may God bless you. I'm going to ask Steve to come and close in prayer.
Heavenly Father, we just praise you, bless you, give you honor and glory. We thank you for today's message, Father God. I pray that you help us to get more militant in our prayer life, Father. Begin to pray against this ungodly stuff going on in our nation, Father God. I pray that you press this message deep in our souls, deep in our spirits, Father God. And I pray that you give us boldness and power and freedom, Father God, to stand against this. I pray that you bless your people out there. I pray that your people, if they're on the fence, that they will repent, Father God. I pray that these people will just fall on their knees and ask for forgiveness. I thank you for protecting everybody out there today, Father God. And I pray that you help us to worship you the rest of the day. That we go home, go about our business, we think about the message today, Father God. Think about it, and I pray that we pray for our children, Father God, that we protect our children. And I pray this prayer in Jesus' precious name. All God's people said, amen, amen.
Hello there, friend. You might have some questions about Christianity. There are many so-called Christian churches out there. So what makes a person a Christian? How do you get right with God? And how do you know when you die that you'll go to heaven? How exactly does a person get to heaven? Does God have a standard? And if so, what is it? What I'm about to tell you will be the most important information you will ever hear on this earth. And your decision will determine how you spend eternity. As you continue listening, I will explain. The bad news is this. When we are born into this world, we are automatically born with sin. Now you might think of yourself as a good person. After all, you're nice to other people, you give money to charity, and you try to live a good life. However, everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's standard. So it doesn't matter how moral, religious, or philosophical you are, you've broken God's commandments, and that has separated you from God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now you might say, "Well, I'm a good person. Doesn't that count for something?" Okay, let's take a little test. I'm going to ask you three questions. 1. Have you ever told a lie? 2. Have you ever stolen anything, even something insignificant like a paperclip at work? 3. Have you ever lusted after someone of the opposite sex? Okay, how did you do? Most likely you answered yes to all three questions, which means you just failed the test. You see, these three questions are but three of God's 10 commandments. Failing just one commandment disqualifies you from getting into heaven and has condemned you to hell. This is why the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, God knows that we are all guilty of breaking His commandments. That's why He said we've all sinned and fallen short of His standard. But you don't have to be depressed about this. I do have some good news to share with you. In Romans 5:7-8, it says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends His love toward us, in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for the sin in your life. Jesus was more than just a good man. He was God becoming man and walking among us. That is why Jesus died on the cross. He took your place and paid for your sins with His shed blood so that you can have everlasting life. God loves you so much that He sent His own Son to pay a debt He did not owe, because you owe a debt you could not pay. Jesus bridged the gap created by sin between you and God. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, there are three places we can exist in this universe: earth, heaven, and hell. So when we die here on earth, we don't just cease to exist. We will step out of our physical bodies and go to one of two places: heaven or hell. God did not send His Son to condemn you, but that through Jesus you might be saved and have eternal life in heaven. God's free gift to you is eternal life through His Son, Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Me." You see, God offers His love to you through Jesus, even though you are a sinner. This unmerited grace is not something you can buy or earn, but a gift from God. As you're listening right now and realize you're a sinner, know that God loves you and wants to save you. All you need to do is repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you. The word repent means to change your direction. You've been running away from God. Now it's time to start running toward Him. The Bible says in Psalms 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." That means if you call out to God and confess your sins, He will forgive you. What Jesus has done in the past for others, He will do for you. If you call out to Him, He will answer you. He won't look down upon you because of your past, and there isn't a sin so great that it can't be forgiven. All He wants for you is to come to Him. He will help anybody who calls out to Him. If you have sin in your life, God still loves you. If you ask God to save you, He will do so. It is important to remember that talking to God can be done anywhere and anytime. You don't have to be in church to talk to God. He will meet you wherever you are. As you're listening to me right now, if you feel a conviction of sin in your life, that is God's Holy Spirit moving upon you. Friend, you need to repent of your sins right now and call out to Jesus. You might not get another chance. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Friend, you need to make a decision today, one that will affect you for eternity. You have a choice. The road to hell is paved with good intentions, so act today. I would like to lead you in a prayer right now where you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your personal Lord and Savior. Now you might ask, what you just said, exactly what does that mean? Well, if you want to start anew and have your sins forgiven, Jesus is the way. There is no other way to God than through Jesus. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about having a personal relationship with the God of creation who loves you so much and is just waiting for you to reach out to Him. That is what I mean by asking Jesus to come into your life and save you. Won't you pray with me right now? God, I confess that I am a sinner and that I need to be saved from my sins. Jesus, I ask that You would forgive me of my sins. I turn from them now, and I put my faith in You. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I believe that You paid for my sins on the cross through Your shed blood, and that You died for me and rose from the grave. Save me, Jesus. I know I can't save myself. Thank You for saving me and giving me eternal life and a place in heaven with You. Help me to be obedient and to walk with You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed with me and asked Jesus to save you, you are now a Christian. You have become born again and are a new creation in God's eyes. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, you're not saved because you might feel saved, but because you have called upon God and He has saved you. Now, as a way to grow closer to Him, the Bible tells you to follow up on your commitment. Spend time with God each day. It doesn't have to be a long period of time. Just develop a daily habit of talking with Him and reading the Bible. Ask God to increase your faith and understanding of the Bible. Also, find a local church where you can worship God and seek fellowship with other Christians to answer your questions and support you. Be sure they use a King James Bible if you live in an English-speaking country, and that the pastor teaches out of the Bible. Plus, don't forget to share your new faith in Jesus with somebody else. After all, if I didn't make this recording to share with you, how would you have heard the good news? Finally, please contact us and tell us about your decision. We will send you some written material that will help you in your new walk with Jesus. This is Charles Terrell with European American Evangelistic Crusades. May you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. You've been listening to the weekly webcast of Pastor John S. Terrell. This message was entitled, The Sexuality of the Antichrist. The rise of the Antichrist is a major event that will take place before the second return of Jesus. The man of sin will create a new world order and force every nation to give up their sovereignty. But what do you know about this man on a personal level? The Bible says that the man of sin will be vile, a moral reprobate, use flattery to deceive, exalt himself, speak blasphemy against God, and won't have any desire for women. This last part doesn't mean chaste, but that he will be a homosexual. The spirit of Antichrist is already sweeping the world, and this is why sexual degenerates of the lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, intersex, queer/questioning, and asexual mafia are going to rally to this man. Churches have been bullied, and few pastors are willing to speak out about this reprobate lifestyle, which God calls an abomination. Homosexuals are vocal, militant, and filled with rage. And whether you realize it or not, they are the front line for the future Antichrist. This message is available on CD and DVD. When ordering, ask for sermon number 1906. There are several ways to contact our ministry. You can visit our website at eaec.org. There you can read insightful articles, watch or listen to a sermon broadcast, and explore the online store. The web address once again is eaec.org. If you prefer to write, address your envelope to European American Evangelistic Crusades, Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. That's Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. If you prefer to call us, the number is 916-944-3724. That's 916-944-3724. Resurrection Life of Jesus Church is sponsored by European American Evangelistic Crusades, and this has been a production of EAEC. Thanks for joining us today, and until next time, may God richly bless you as you read your Bible and walk with Him.